Hey, it's Andreas from Dark Funeral and Gra, and you're listening to Pommeskabel, the podcast of powermetal.de.
Hey there, it's Marcel from the podcast Pommeskabel, and the following episode is in English because of our today's guest. And last year in March, things got really dark in one day. SS Band released their new album titled We Are the Apocalypse. Their best, in my opinion, to date, the most impressive work with an intensive atmosphere. This album will become became second place at our monthly soundcheck. And before going on a big tour with Storm Ruler, Ingested and Cannibal Corpse, we have grabbed the singer of Dark Funeral. Hello, Andreas.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you.
The band is celebrating its big anniversary this year. We Are the Apocalypse is now the seventh album of Dark Funeral, which was released 6 years after Where Shadows Forever Reign. So, Andreas, the album is one year later still as perfect for you as it was last year in March?
Yeah, I think so. We're very happy with the album. Time flies. It's crazy how time flies. I mean, yeah, you just mentioned 6 years before the previous album, and doesn't feel like it, but no, I think when you take the time to make an album the way you want it to be, and you don't use any stress, those albums usually hold the test of time as well, in my opinion.
All right. Yes, of course. So you joined the band in 2014, I think. Yes. How did the contact came about? Since you already played strong black metal with Cursed 13 and Grey, a position with Dark Funeral was surely a kind of accolade for you, or?
Well, Dark Funeral invited my band Gra to be the support band for the 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And we accepted and we got to know each other, and Caligula was leaving, so it felt like a natural thing to do, to try out, you know, because, I mean, I already know the guys and we get along. So we decided to give it a shot, and everyone was happy with it. So, and that's just how it went.
So it was, in your opinion, the next step of your career as a musician?
I think if there is such a thing as fate, it was kind of destined to be, you know. I wasn't searching for any bigger bands to join. It wasn't like that. It's just the possibility arose, and I decided to give it a chance, and I'm very glad that I did.
As I said at the beginning, this record is one of my most favorite black metal records in the last year, and it got the second place at our monthly soundcheck. In your opinion, what are the musical differences between We Are the Apocalypse and its predecessor, Where Shadows Forever Reign?
I do think that We Are the Apocalypse is kind of a continuation of what we started with, Where Shadows. Where Shadows was my first album with Dark Funeral, and previous to that, we did the single called Nail Them to the Cross, which also has Temple of Ahriman in a different version on the B-side. We started working together for that, and me and Ahriman, we found like a symbiosis, a way to work. He's sending me riffs, and I'm taking them to my home studio, and I reply with some vocal takes, ideas, and the ideas for the riffs. And, you know, we just do back and forth like that. And that is how we did the Where Shadows album. And that's how we actually did We Are the Apocalypse as well. It was it was a process during like 2 years, I think. We were just doing this until it was done. And some weeks nothing happened because nobody had an idea. Mm-hmm. And then other weeks we were working 7 days, you know, and just sending stuff back and forth. So it's been... You cannot force inspiration. You cannot force music. You know, it has to come when it's supposed to, and you have to wait for it patiently. That's why I also think it's a continuation from Where Shadows, because it's like we never really stopped. We just had a pause doing concerts for a couple of years. But in between, we've been doing this anyway in the background, sending things back and forth. And then we go on a tour and we don't touch anything for 2 months, you know, and then we come back. Ah, yeah, where were we? We don't even remember sometimes. We have to start over. So in a way, the pandemic was kind of cool, but it was helpful in the way of we didn't have any distractions. So we can actually, we can work on the album for the 2 years that we were actually basically locked up anyway. Mm-hmm. So we used the time, and it just happened to be done when the pandemic was also over. So we were kind of lucky in that sense.
So the pandemic had a good influence on Dark Funeral.
Well, it didn't have an influence itself. I mean, it's not like it's about the play or anything. But it provided the necessary time. I think that we needed to make this album. Probably it would have taken another year if we were still doing concerts, you know.
I think Dark Funeral is a band that especially actively witnessed the second phase of black metal in the mid-90s. So how do you currently see the development of black metal, and what do you think about the upcoming development of black metal in the future?
Well, I mean, you have to remember that in the mid-90s, most bands were basically kids, teenagers, or early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like this other kind of the rebellious side of it, the joy of invention, you know, the breaking through the barriers. And now as these people, I'm a bit younger, but as these people are pushing 50 and beyond,
mm-hmm.
Some of them have kept exploring, but there is also some, it has also been established some kind of tradition that things are supposed to be in a certain way. It became adult-oriented rock in a way. You know, it's supposed to be this or that way, and otherwise it's this or that or no. And with the internet, that has also been like continuously forced upon people. That's something that I don't like. I like the experimental part. Back in the 90s, if you read a review, the worst thing you could hear as a band is that you're not original.
Yes.
You know, but because but you sound like something else. It's like, what the fuck? Why are you mocking me saying that I sound like, you know, that was the finest thing you could be, was to be original, to be your own. And today it feels like it's the other way around. If you're original, you're not true, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like this weird relationship where people grow old and they just want things like they're used to, and fear change and fear what they used to be themselves back in the early days. So that is something that I find, I don't know if it's sad or amusing, but I do like when bands do things that is outside the box and progress and take the music to new paths instead of just replicating.
And in my opinion, bands like Mayhem or Emperor or Dark Funeral were falsely originals. So this is the big success of these bands in the current scene. In the time between the two records, We Are the Apocalypse and Where Shadows Forever Reign, you get a new drummer and a new bass player. So how were Jellome and Adra Melek able to get involved in the songwriting of the current record?
Well, actually, they have been entering the band piece by piece. They didn't play on the Where Shadows album, but they came not too far after that album was released. We did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they have been like woven into Dark Funeral in a way. So they start out with playing live with us a couple of years even before we actually entering the studio. And as I said, me and Arna, we did all the demos for the album. And then with the input from the guys, of course, presenting songs now and then. But then we rehearsed and went to the studio. And I think it's in the studio where the guys had a chance to put their own touch to it.
Mm-hmm.
And which I actually think they both did with great success.
So is there any closer concept behind the songs or the whole record?
No, it's not a concept album, I think. When I listen to it, though, I get this like cinematic feeling to it. But it's not conceptual. All the songs are individual, and they have their individual topics and ideas.
These were the normal questions, I think the boring questions. Let's come to the more interesting questions. The album is called We Are the Apocalypse. So how do you personally imagine the apocalypse, and how far do you think we are from the apocalypse?
That's a good question. I mean, the title came when I was writing the lyrics for the title track.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of liked it because it, as I just mentioned, the album has kind of a cinematic feeling, and that would be a damn good movie title too. But it's also, we were discussing this, and it's a title that is very open for interpretation, you know? Mm-hmm. We, who are we? Is it me and my dog? Is it me and my, you know? Or mm-hmm. is it me and my band? Is it me and my family? Is it, everyone have a different we. When you say we, everyone thinks about different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an interesting aspect of it. And I think to put it as an open title like that on the album, I think it suits, it fits. And it has this cinematic aspect. As for me and my personal interpretation of when the apocalypse will be or the end of days or whatever is, I don't know. And honestly, I don't even really care because I don't have kids. I'm not leaving shit behind, you know. I'm living this life and then I'm fucking off, basically.
It's a perfect bridge to my next question. One song is called When I'm Gone. So what do you think will happen to you when you leave this world? What happens in general?
That's a good question, actually, too. The background of that song was I woke up in the middle of the night and I had these words in my head. And I had, it happens sometimes. It doesn't happen too often, but I wrote it down. And yeah, the title was there, When I'm Gone. It was like a short poem. Later that day, when Arima sent me some new riffs, it's like, yeah, I'm onto this. Maybe we'll do like a mid-tempo or even a slow song. How about this? And I said, yeah, I know. It's gonna be called When I'm Gone. And I already have the outline for the lyrics. So it just came automatically like that. The song basically wrote itself. What I believe, I don't know what I believe. You know, I've changed my mind throughout the years. I mean, it's easy to get dragged into other people's points of views, but in the end, nobody fucking knows. So what I would hope for is, of course, to see people that I have lost throughout life, you know? That'd be cool. And if that doesn't happen, well, whatever, really.
So you said that you wrote some poems. So do you write some poems also far away from the songwriting of Dark Funeral or Grey?
Oh, yeah, I do. I like to write poetry. I never released anything really like that. A couple of years ago, I put out a photo book, though, which has some poetry in it. So that's the closest to releasing anything. But yeah, I do write a lot of poetry. And sometimes some of my poems end up being rewritten into songs, you know, even though they weren't meant for it always. But sometimes you get like, yeah, this is the perfect thing for this. And you just adjust it into a song, but it doesn't really matter because I'm just writing them and they're just lying there. So it's for me to use.
But the most of the poetry you write for yourself?
I would say so, yes. And actually most of the music too. I mean, I'm just putting out a fraction of what I write, you know. I compose all the time on the guitar and I save it in hard drives basically. And then albums happen with Gra, I'm the songwriter there. And previously I had Curse 13. There's a lot of songs in my, as I call it, my riff graveyard. So sometimes I go grave robbing, you know, when I need an idea or two. But I write shit tons of music. I write shit tons of poetry too. And yeah, it's just sitting there until it's summoned somehow from either Dark Funeral or Gra or whatever I need it for, you know.
So there's also a song about the cosmic sea monster of the Jewish mythology. What is your mysterious point, the fascinating point about Leviathan?
Well, that's also one of the songs that came to life kind of by itself. I got some riffs from Ahriman again, and I started hearing the sea in there. It's like, yeah, this is something with the sea. I don't know why, but it's something with the sea. I kept hearing like waves in my head, you know. It's like, yeah. So I started to do a little reading, and I figured that, yeah, maybe Leviathan is the perfect beast to put in that sea, you know? And that is basically how it came about, and then it just grew into its own monster.
I think it's a dangerous but beautiful monster in my opinion, in my mind.
Absolutely, and I love the Gustave Doré illustration of the destruction of Leviathan, I think it's called. I think Emperor used it on some Wrath of the Tyrant edition or something like that. Well, it's a cool image anyway. And that's kind of what I got in my head when I heard the riffs.
So it's a big monster of song too.
Yeah, I guess so. At least that's my opinion.
So we talked about the past of Dark Funeral. Let's get a quick look on the future. You are on tour with Cannibal Corpse soon. Is that the band that had a big influence you musically?
For me, yeah, I would say so, actually. Back in, I don't know, when I was a kid, back in 94 or something. I come from the north of Sweden, so you don't have too many record stores. You don't have too many options, you know, for music. So you would have this, some catalogs sometimes, record catalogs. And you would blindly order stuff with a cool name because there was no fucking internet. And so often there were no pictures and you don't have any references. Well, anyway, I got my hands on the Bleeding album by Cannibal Corpse. And it was the latest Cannibal Corpse album. And that blew me away. I really, really loved that album. And then I backtracked them. And then Vile came a couple of years after. And yeah, I've been a Cannibal Corpse fan since, I don't know, 20 years, almost oh shit, almost 30 years now. So yeah, I would say that they have had some impact. I don't say that anything that I've done ever sounded like Cannibal Corpse, but it's still a musical reference that is cool, I think. And the guys are fucking awesome now. You know, when I get to know them also, it's like huge respect.
So The Bleeding, is this still your most favorite Cannibal Corpse of all time, or does it have a personal impact on you? But musically, it's not the best.
Oh, musically, I think it's the best, but it didn't have, I mean, I'm not writing death metal riffs so much. So, I mean, I don't have any use for the death metal style, you know, if I put it that way. But I think The Bleeding is the best album up until Violence Unimagined, the new one. The new one is a fucking rip. It's a fucking hole in your fucking brain. I was blown away when I heard that the first time. I was like, yeah, okay, I have to listen again. And I had to listen again. But the singles came, I wasn't But when I had the whole album, I just put it on. It's like, yes. It was like standing in front of a huge fucking fan blowing right in my face and my hair is straight back, you know.
I think that the singles were okay, but in combination with the other unreleased songs, it blew me away. The song is absolutely killer. What can we expect from the upcoming Dark Funeral shows?
Well, we just finished the US leg of this tour. We did 6 weeks in US and Canada. So we are kind of warmed up, if you say so. We did 29 shows. And a lot of the shows were actually sold out, and that's fucking awesome. And actually, the European shows are also starting to sell out or getting close to, at least. So that's cool, too. And I think the combination of Dark Funeral and Cannibal Corpse is a very, very good one, because you don't get two things of the same, you know, you get something different. You get two different types of brutality, you know. So I think that is very cool for the variety of things. And we are, of course, bringing songs from the whole catalog. I mean, we are turning 30 years old this year. We're bringing songs from the whole catalog and, of course, with emphasis on the new album. I don't know what else to say. You have to come and check it out for yourself. We're going to give it our everything. That's all I can say about it, really.
And I'm looking forward about the show in Cologne, I think. Andreas, I have to be honest, I listened to the new Grey album and I like it.
All right, cool.
So, because for me, it goes a bit more into the melodic death and doom metal realm. So how do you see it? Is Grey for you a bit more death metal than Dark Funeral?
I would say no. The thing is that when we started writing this Grey album, we put the emphasis on heavy metal, actually. We were listening to shit tons of 80s, you know, Dio, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Saxon, Motorhead, you know, and even a lot of Black Sabbath. So the doom things you hear are probably our Black Sabbath influences. And I don't think there is so much death metal in there. I've seen people reflect that way, but no, I think it goes further way back, because we've been thinking, what would Dio do? You know, sometimes when we've been stuck, how would Tony Iommi solve this, you know? as a joke in the rehearsal place. But that has been like the sentiment for this album. And also the album cover is highly inspired by 80s heavy metal bands, you know? I think people cannot see a step beyond, because if you pass the death metal part, yeah, what is left? Yeah, you will be there with maybe thrash and heavy metal. And that is where we have been taking the inspiration, rather than from, I understand melodic death because it has melodies and has screaming vocals, but what is melodic death metal in the end? That's also heavy metal with screaming vocals, basically, and more distortion. So I guess maybe we have the same influences as In Flames. I don't know, but for us, it's more of a heavy metal album than a death metal album, for sure.
And you also covered a song by Bathory. So what meaning did Bathory and Quartron have for you personally? Can you say that Under the Sign of a Black Mark album has the most influence on you?
I would say that the four first Bathory albums are like, they're like the epitome of what we call black metal today. Without those albums, I don't know, everyone would sound like Venom. I don't know. They are extremely important in my opinion and cannot be overlooked, the importance. Quartron as a musician, he was an inventive genius. I mean, then he moved on to do Hammerheart, which is like creating this whole Viking thing. And I don't think you can overestimate the importance he has had on metal overall.
Yes, I think Quartron has so much influence on the whole metal scene, in the black metal scene, on the Viking, a little bit on the thrash metal scene in the end of the 90s. But my most favorite Bathory records were Twilight of the Gods, the Nordland records, and and Bloodfire Death. So it got me a really, really big impact on me. On the new Grey album, one song was on the Isle of Cyanide demo of your former band, Cursed 13. So what was the reasons for you to cover yourself?
Well, this is a very intricate thing because back in 98, I started this project. It was just me back then called Cursed 13. And I was writing songs and writing songs. And I come from the north of Sweden with no money. So I didn't have much possibilities to record more than in my own little tape recorder, you know. Put the tape recorder next to the amplifier and you play the riffs. And then in 2002 or 3, I got a computer and some very early digital way of recording music. So I started doing that. And I recorded a lot of demos. And the one you mentioned, the Isle of Cyanide demo, was from 2003, released in 2006 by a Tasmanian record label that wanted to release it for some reason. And the song Torn Asunder was on there, yes. When I was writing the songs for the new Grey album, I stumbled across that tape digitally on my in a hard drive. And I had my guitar with me too. And I was like, what the fuck? Let's play this. It has something. Mommy, the computer drums on the demo it's the worst shit you can imagine. It sounds really, really fucking bad. But that's what I had and that's what I used because I still wanted to create. So I started playing the songs and I put like more modern computer drums on it, and I sent it to the guys and I said, why don't we do this song? And they were all, yeah, why not? Forgot about that one. Because the drummer of Grey also joined me in Cursed 13 back in 2009. So we did an album and that later turned into Grey. And yeah, it's a very long and intricate and very boring story. So, but in the end, we felt that this song is ours because it comes from our other band anyway. And it only got a release in a cassette demo that was released in like 100 copies or something. And it kind of fit and gave a dynamic to the new Grey album, Lycaon, that we were kind of missing. It gives a depth and a heaviness that we felt fit perfectly into there. And also the lyrics were written by the current bass player of Grey. This was written before Grey even existed. So it has like this web of things and coincidences that turns it into a perfect song to put in a Grey album. Yeah, long story short.
But dear listeners outside, if you have a favor for powerful and heavy black metal, you have to check out Lycaon from Grey. And is the album also conceptually about the king of the Arcadians in Greek mythology?
No, actually not. And on the cover, you will see something that looks like Bomber from Motorhead or Aces High from Iron Maiden. You know, you have like these airplanes shooting and it's like a war theme going on. And that is actually, first of all, it's a wink from our previous album, Vasen. If you look in the upper right corner, you will see those airplanes. But that cover illustrates a battleground, but you have the airplanes in the air. So we're going up there and Lycaon is, I don't know how that rhymes with airplanes really. So no, it's not a conceptual album. No, I mean, as much as you can say the Power Slave is about Egypt, I mean, it has one song.
But also without a conception, it is a really good record. Like I said, there are many parallels between We Are the Apocalypse of Dark Funeral and the new Grey album. Is there anything you want to mention about these two records?
I don't know. I'm very proud of them both, of course. Mm-hmm. We released the Dark Funeral album last year, and I'm releasing the new Grey album now. And next year, I'm going to release my solo debut album.
Okay.
So I'm actually keeping very busy. And that's something that I really like now compared to the old demo cassettes from the early 2000s or late 90s is that the quality of the songwriting, of everything is... Yeah, I'm very proud of where I am as a musician right now. I think I'm onto something good, and I will keep working. And I hope people give my music a chance. That's all I can say, really. And I hope you like it.
So can you give me a little more details about your upcoming solo record?
Well, I'm actually currently, because the tour starts in about 2 months, less than 2 months, I'm currently trying to wrap up the demos. We're aiming for 8 songs. for sure it will be me on guitar and vocals, and it will be Dennis from the band Tyrfing on drums.
Oh, pretty cool.
And then we will have other people too, but everything in due time. So we're working on an album, and we aim to record it this year for a release next year. Record label and such details are also under negotiation right now.
So we are looking forward. Andreas, it was a big pleasure for me to speak with you, to get many background information about these two pretty good records. On the one hand, We Are the Apocalypse of Dark Funeral. On the other hand, Lochaicon of Grey. So like I said in the beginning of our interview, my last question. So what is your most favorite song at the moment? It hasn't to be a metal song. It could be a pop song or a country song. What do you want to give our listeners on their way?
Well, actually, right now, I'm listening a lot to a 2022 album by the Norwegian band Kold, K-H-O-L-D. And the album name is named Svartsyn. And there is a song in there called Skarprätter. That one, when I heard it in my car for the first time, I was speeding a lot, you know. That one is returning to me, and it's definitely on all my exercise playlists, you know. It's such a fucking beast of a song. Skarprätter by Kold.
All right. So my favorite song at the moment is a song about a song from a band called Soulwork, one of the most influenced bands on me. And the song is called Full Moon Shoals, from the former record, because the current record is one of the best records I've ever heard in the last year. So my tribute to Soilwork, great song, great record, great band. So Andreas, thank you so fucking much about telling me everything I want to know. I wish you all the best with the upcoming tour with Cannibal Corpse. Dear listeners outside, thank you very much for hearing this pretty good interview, I think. And wish you all the best. Take care of you and have a nice day.